The following program contains names, places, and events that have been anonymized or fictionalized for the purposes of protection and safety. The following program is provided for entertainment purposes only, and any commentary from the hosts are strictly conjecture and should not be held as making any definitive statements about the truth or identity of any particular individuals or circumstances. If you or a loved one are involved in an abusive relationship, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 for support.
Okay, so we don't want to make this intro very long because we want to get to the story, but...
top of the morning to you, walk the plank.
Oh my God.
I'm done. So yeah, let's get into it. So just recap. Last week, Jenny told her story about meeting this man in the States. He had come over from Ireland and everything was all great and well, and it looked like a rom-com and everybody's confused. Like, why is this on the Dating Detective? And now we're going to find out why.
It's going to be a horror story.
Basically, hold on to your panties.
He texts me. He had gotten to his connection and he says, I just got your card. He went in the bag to find something and that's where he found it. And he texts me. He goes, that is the sweetest thing I've ever gotten. And does like a million heart eyes and then like the crying emojis. And I write back, I meant every word. Hmm. And I go to sleep. And at this point, I had his flight information. And so when I wake up the next morning, I check and he had landed. I hadn't heard from him. And so that was just kind of like, okay, back to the real world. This is over. Let's move on. And then I think a few hours later, I hear from him and he's just like, hey, I'm so sorry I didn't text you when I landed. I was barely fit to walk. I'm so tired. And then he said something along the lines of, I miss you doesn't even begin.
Aww.
And I immediately start crying again.
Sure.
And he's asking how I'm doing. And I'm at this point, I'm like, listen, we have just experienced this whirlwind of a thing. I am not going to hide that from him. You know, like, what do I have to lose at this point? So I am very honest with him. I said, I'm a wreck.
Yeah.
I have not cried this much over any other breakup. And I said, I finally feel fine talking to you. Because I really had prepared myself
now
that we were never going to talk again. Ugh. And he's like, I feel the same. And he
You've
says,
become each other's like safe place, yeah. Happy place.
Yeah. And he even says, I won't tell you about the worn t-shirt next to me in bed. So he wore the same shirt with me the two times we saw each other because he said the second day, he goes, this is my lucky shirt.
It smells like you.
Yeah. And he said he was laying next to it.
Aww.
Yeah. And at this point, I asked him, can I call you? Can we talk on the video chat, whatever? And I'll never forget, he said, you just want to torture me by being able to hear and see something that I can't touch.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh. And he says, I just need a little bit more time. Like, I need to go a few hours without crying. I need to get myself right
before I can do that.
Okay. And again, super fair and super
emotionally
intelligent.
The fact that you're both on the
you.
Same page, yes. too, is
yeah.
very...
Like, thank you for... And also, super flattered that you also are being so affected by me. And so we go through the day, we're texting, staying in contact. And so one of the big things is because he was here for music... I also love music. I don't love country music, but I would learn
Same.
To like country music. But I created a playlist for him.
Aww.
I put like that one Noah Kahan song on and then a few other songs. And I sent it to him and I said, here. I said, music is my love language. I made this for you. And he was so excited. And he's just like, can I add to this? And I said, yeah, if you Aww. Want to. And he goes, so is the deal that we add songs to this list when it makes us think of the other person? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Okay,
and he goes,
cute,
I love this. This is going to be my therapy. Thank you so much. You know, all this stuff. So I, you know, let it go. I'm trying to stay busy. I took off the next day because I'm, you know, of work, because I'm just heartbroken. And I go back and check this playlist. This man added at least 15 or 20 songs.
Oh my God.
Within an hour having it. And when I tell you the kinds of songs he added, the main one was Again by Lenny Kravitz. He said that that was our song. And aww. If you remember the lyrics, it says, "All of my life, where have you been? I hope that someday I get to see you again. And when that day comes, I know we can win." Yeah. So he added that. He added, "I Was Born to Love You," and like, all like Fooled Around and Fell in Love, all of these songs. And I am freaking out because I have never had a man think of, you know, listen to these kinds of songs and think of me, for one. And then not only that, but like be so upfront about it. So that becomes our big thing. We are adding all these kinds of songs together. Aww. That's kind of how we're talking. And again, we're texting back and forth with each other all throughout the day. So he is 7 hours ahead of me. But what I really appreciate about him is like, when he knew, because I have a history of being ghosted, it sets me off, my anxiety and everything. And so he knew that. And so he was very, very good at communication. He'd say, "Hey, I have to go pick up the kids from school, or I have to go help with homework, or I'm going to go down to the farm. I'll be back."
I love that. And yeah. I really like that a lot.
And it's not hard for anyone listening. And if anyone doesn't do it and you think that you're asking for too much, you're not.
This is very important. I said to him, he was communicating my anxieties away. And he would say, "Of course, least I could do. I want to make sure that I am not going to leave you. I'm not going to ghost you." It was very reassuring. And so I am, again, falling more for him. And so we are talking, and I would want to say about a month into this, he starts talking about his anxiety again. And he is saying that it's flaring up since he's been back in Ireland. He says, I feel almost lovesick over you. There are times that I can't get out of bed. I just want to stay in here. I think of you all the time." And I am asking him, I'm like, "Do you have anyone to talk to about this?" And he says, "I don't really have a lot of friends where we can talk about this." He explains like the Irish culture and how it doesn't, they have the same kind of stigma with mental health. I asked him about therapy and he goes, "Well, I had such a bad experience given my history with it." And he says something along the lines of like, "You're my therapist."
Oh.
And I was like, "Yeah, no, we're not going to do that." I said, I know the ethics of this. I said, I'm really glad that you can open up to me. I love that, but I need you to go get help. And so we're going back and forth on it a little bit. This is probably like a few days. And I'm doing check-ins with him, making sure he's okay, all of this. And then finally, end of October, he freaks out. And he just is like, "I'm so sorry. I can't do this." And he says, "If I talk to you every day like I am, I'm going to fall in love with you. And I cannot do that again. I will not allow myself to fall in love. I cannot put myself at risk." You know, and
given
he
what
said,
happened last time, I understand why he's responding.
Exactly. Right. And who am I to say, "No, forget what happened to you last time." I was very realistic. I said, "Look, Darren, I cannot promise you a happy end, like what this could be. I don't know." I said, "What I can promise you is that if it does unfortunately go south, I won't break up with you in a text message. I won't, you know, do these things that have obviously hurt you. We would fight for it, but we would talk it out if we do have to part ways." And he would say, "This has been the stuff of my wildest dreams, but my mental health comes first. I have my kids. I have my businesses. I can't let them down." And I mean, this goes on for a few hours that night. I am sobbing. And again, this is all text, right? Because he cannot handle talking to me on the phone.
Wait, have you not talked on the phone this whole month?
No.
What? And have you, obviously you haven't FaceTimed or anything. Wow. You've only texted for a month.
Texted. He knew to bring up his anxiety. And who am I to question someone's mental health or triggers?
So
or
he
anything
literally
like
was like, "I can't talk to you because it'll be too hard for me."
But he was still very much reachable throughout the day. You know, given our time difference, we would still talk in the morning, throughout the day, at night before he'd go to bed. He would stay up late for me regularly, or he would wake up in the middle of the night and it would just be like 9 o'clock our time, you know, and we would pick up talking. So I really was like, I don't think he's hiding anything because
you're talking all the time.
Yeah, we're talking all the time. What can he be doing?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been listening to our show, or even if you're new to our show, you are probably in agreement that we could all benefit from therapy. BetterHelp makes it so easy to take care of your mental health. And I think right now I'm having trouble ignoring my social battery and taking time for myself. I actually did just speak to my therapist about, like, I'm having really trouble asking for money. Like, this sounds weird, but I have a couple clients to invoice that I haven't invoiced just because I, like, it gives me stress. And then I'm also planning my friend's bachelorette, which requires asking some people to chip in some money. And it's giving me so much anxiety. And she was like, let's talk about this because I think this is a really literal discussion about your own worth, your self-worth, literally money-wise. Why do you have trouble asking for things that you are worth? So needed to have that conversation. And I'm sure we all have our little things that come up for us when we're like, I could probably talk through that with a professional. BetterHelp is therapy entirely online, and I've benefited so much from their services, and it doesn't take away that it's an online service. BetterHelp made it so that I could do it in a flexible way whenever I needed to with my schedule. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try and they work with you. You can change your therapist whenever you want. If you need to, you can chat with them through their system, or you can obviously talk to them face to face over video chats. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible and suited to your schedule. And you just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And yeah, you can switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. I think it's important. We all deserve it. It's an more affordable option than a lot that's out there. And it can help you really find your sweet spot with your mental health. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/TDD today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TDD.
So he has this freak out. I start getting mad at this point. I am just like, I feel like you're self-sabotaging. We have such a strong connection. There's all these signs saying that there was a reason for us to meet, things that just seem so real and genuine. And so I am very upset with him. I was like, you're self-sabotaging. I don't understand why you can't just go get help. You know, like, if you're having this anxiety, go talk to someone, maybe change up your medication, anything like that to try. Because I said, it's not just affecting this, whatever this could be. I said, but it's affecting your life.
It's not his fault, but it is his responsibility.
Yeah. And I like and that. So I'm very, and he's, and here's the thing. He is taking it all. You know, he's letting me talk and say these things, and he wouldn't just shut it down. He wouldn't, you know, tell me I'm wrong or anything like that. He would really listen. And he would say, I understand why you feel this way. He goes, if the roles were reversed, I would feel the exact same way. And he goes, but at the end of the day, I can't do this. And so I just let go. I was like, I'm not going to fight. Mm-hmm. This was an amazing thing, but here we go. And so I told him, I will give you your space. So the deal was, is we were going to just really reel it in. He goes, I need to distance myself from you to get my mind right. And he goes, and then hopefully, you know, we won't completely have to lose touch.
Yeah.
So we go about 2 weeks of very, very little messaging. I am heartbroken and I'm trying to move on. I'm trying to do what I need to do. I don't even think about getting back on the apps. Like, nothing can come close to this experience with him. So I am processing it as best as I can. And then finally, like 2 weeks go by, he sends me a message, something along the lines of like, you seem to be surviving fine on a few texts from me. And I said, well, I don't really have much of a choice. And he said, well, just because I'm not texting you doesn't mean I'm not thinking about texting you. And then for some reason, it just kind of started back. But this time I was more aware of it. So I would ask him like, hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time, or how's your anxiety today? You know, I'm always doing these check-ins with him. Mm-hmm. And he is always so grateful for it. And he's telling me, it's fine. I'm a little anxious, but it's okay. My feelings are under control. you know, all this stuff. Around this time is when he starts telling me he's opened up to his family and friends about me. And he actually said, I was like, well, what did they say? And he goes, they told me I shouldn't be doing this, that it was too risky. What if what happens last time happens again? And then I should just move on and forget you and focus on myself. And he would be like, no, I shut them down. I can't move away from you. There's no way. Like, you are in my life and I could never say bye. He goes, the aftermath of having to say goodbye to you forever would be much worse.
Wow. That's like, you must feel so valued to have somebody be like, I know this is going to hurt me, but you're worth it.
So we start talking again, but at a much more controlled point. It's not hours every day, but it is throughout the day check-ins. And then usually at night is when we would have like more of a chat. Again, just texting. Around this time, I told him I wanted to send him something, him and Charlie something. Charlie absolutely loved the Southern barbecue we had. And he made a comment about how I wish I could have this back home. And so I actually bought him a Southern cookbook, a barbecue.
Oh, that's
and I
cool.
wanted to send it to him so he could be his own little Irish pitmaster. And I have like a few things for Darren, and I explained that to him, and Darren was like, please do not send me anything. And he actually sends me a picture of him holding my card that I put in his luggage. And he said, I am not capable of handling much more of this. And he explained how he's not used to receiving gifts of any sort, cards, anything like that. It makes his anxiety go up. And he's like, at some point, I hope that I can be strong enough to receive things, like we can send each other things. And he goes, but right now, can you please not?
Interesting.
And so he actually gave me Charlie's address and was like, here, please ship this to Charlie, whatever. I've dated guys who were the same way. They don't like receiving those kinds of things. And I get it. So again, wasn't going to question it, wasn't going to fight it. So I think around like November-ish last year is when he tells me, he's like, I have good news and bad news. And I said, okay. And he goes, good news is I want to come back to America. And I'm like, okay. And he said, the bad news is it won't be until next fall, because given his schedule with like the kids and farm and all that. And I'm trying to like control myself and not assume it's just for me, you know, because he kind of is like, I have never felt more of myself than I did last fall on this trip. And he goes, I need to come back and see the South. The South is for me. All this stuff.
How long had it been at this point? God. Like, how long had you guys been?
About two-ish months.
Okay.
Since we'd met. But he would make comments like, well, you could be married by then.
What?
Or okay. you could be with someone by then. He would say, if you're not, you can date someone, but just break up with them before September. You know, like he would make them.
I get it.
You know, he's funny. It's clever. It's cute.
And it's like managing his expectations where he's like, yeah. I know we're not in a relationship.
Exactly. And he would sometimes ask me like, are you back on the apps? And I would say like, no, you know, and he would say like, is it because of me? I hope not. And so because I knew he didn't want to hear that, I would, of course, be like, no, I'm just taking a break, you know, whatever. Mm. Just trying to like keep it level for him. I didn't want to freak him out.
Did you ever ask him if he was dating?
No, because he made it known after saying goodbye to him in the airport. He said, I'm not going to download Tinder or be on Tinder when I get home. And he would say like, this was fun, but I have to get back to my life. And he just, again, because of his anxiety and mental health, he just was like, I can't imagine dating. So, and we would like do check-ins like that. Right. And I, again, would never question it, but we always said to each other, if one of us did meet someone, mm-hmm. we would tell, you know, yeah. and we would talk about it and that be that. Good. So, you know, again, communication was very, very open. It was very freeing. So we start talking more and more about the trip. In this fall, and we share like a Google Doc and we start adding little things to it. And I'm adding certain restaurants he'd want to go see and, you know, maybe go to the mountains or the beach or, you know, whatever. And he puts on there, meet your parents.
Oh, okay. I like that. So he,
and
okay.
I was so shocked and I was like, really? And he said, anyone that is important to you is important to me.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, and I'm beautiful. Just, you know, ecstatic, over the moon. I've never had anyone that was that supportive. I'm, again, like, flabbergasted that this man wants to do this. And then, so there's certain times, like I said, we talk a lot at night, and there were a lot of times at night that he would say more things to me that he really wouldn't say during the day. And because of that is he takes sleeping medication. So I jokingly called it tablet talk, because he would say stuff like, one day I would send him pictures of like what I would cook, and he would be like, you know, I'm looking for another wife, right? Or he would send me sometimes like phrases in Gaelic. I would like put it into Google Translate. And one night it was, good night, my future wife.
When someone gets a little drunk and they're like,
yeah, right.
Exactly. And like, here's the thing, like, because
we talked about it in Atlanta when he was here. He was taking them, he told me. And we jokingly called it his truth serum, because like, yeah, that is when he said to me, I'm so happy, you know, like that kind of stuff. And then there was one night I said I was going over to my parents for dinner, and he sent me a phrase in Gaelic, and he said, tell your mom I said this. And it was something like, your daughter is beautiful. I love her. Good job.
Aw, that's sweet.
You know, like, it was just super sweet. But the thing is that like, it was tablet talk, and it was just kind of known. He would say stuff like that, and it was just kind of understood that we would never talk about it again. You know, or I could tease him a little bit, but not too, it wasn't serious.
Yeah.
And so like one of the times one night he shares with me pictures and videos of his children. And he asked, he goes, would you like to see them? And I was like, if you're comfortable with sharing that, I understand that this is a big deal, you know? And so he tells me all about his children, 3 children, beautiful kids. They seem to be really smart, great, work on the farm. You know, he's clearly a very proud father. Hmm. And I find that very much more attractive. And he talks to me about how he's going to take them to Disney Paris this summer. And he jokingly said, you should come with.
Oh, okay.
And I am shocked. And like, I'm screenshotting it and sending it to my friends.
Look, I'm going to be a stepmom. You know?
And I feel, okay, so I should also mention this entire time, knowing I'm fully know how crazy this entire thing is. So I kept a small circle of my friends very much involved this entire time. I would regularly send them screenshots of our messages, you know, all this stuff, because I knew I was swooning over this man. I clearly had rose colored glasses on. So I'm telling them, if you see anything, any red flags whatsoever, or anything that doesn't
add
up. Let me
know, because I don't see it. Maybe for
good for you. Yeah.
I was like, keep me in check, because I know how I am, you know? And one of my friends is a licensed therapist. So I was like, I need you to be my friend, but also my therapist. And really, you're not going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
By trying to protect me.
You're protecting me. Exactly. You know?
But yeah, so he jokes about me coming to see his kids in Paris, and I am over the moon. Start looking at flights. I have like a Google flight alert on all flights to Ireland, you know, just to see. Yes. And he knows it. And he's slowly starting to come around, I can tell, of talking to us. I find out that I brought up the Paris thing at one point, because I was like, I know we're going to see each other this fall, but I would really love to see you beforehand. Waiting several more months really sucks. And I was very honest with him. I said, I need to know if this is real, or if this was like, what we had was like a honeymoon thing.
Yeah.
And that was it. It doesn't translate later on. And our trip in this fall that we planned was going to be this crazy road trip. So I was like, I need to know, can we actually be together longer in a car together, you know, before we do this ridiculous romantic trip of you seeing my hometown, my family, you know, all this stuff.
And now we're like 3 months in, 4 months.
Yeah, about four-ish months. Okay. We shared pictures. He would share me pictures with his kids. I would send him pictures. I don't have kids.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is he on social media?
Oh, okay. So that's one fun one. So I knew he was, but he would explain that social media was for his children. He and his ex had the social media like TikTok, Instagram,
to monitor,
and
them.
It was heavily monitored. They owned the accounts, but the kids were allowed to go on them.
Okay.
So because of that, and who am I to question? I actually loved it. I was like, good for you for controlling.
Because my kids are on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we would start talking more and more future kind of talk. So we would say these things back and forth of, and One of the biggest things I want to say is I don't have kids. I am in my mid-30s. It's one of these things that's kind of, I've really worked on my own, because I always assumed I would be a mother, but I never met someone that was worthy, that I thought was worthy to parent with. And he knew that. We talked about it from the first date. He mentioned to me that given that his kids were older, he explained to me that he did get a vasectomy, you know, and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, thank you for telling me. And he was very respectful. He's like, do you want children of your own? And I said, I'm at the point in my life where if it were to happen, cool. If it doesn't, I'm also cool being a bonus mom. And I explained to him, I said, at my age, I know that it would be a little harder. So there was, I want to say, just back in January, I sent him a picture of me holding a puppy, and he writes me, do you want a baby? And I said, a human baby? And he goes, yes. And I said, I thought you and I have talked about this before. And he goes, yeah, I just want to double check. And so I said the exact same answer again. And I said, where is this coming from? And he said, I've been thinking about reversing my vasectomy for you.
Oh, okay.
And he said, you deserve to be a mother.
Aww.
And I was so shocked. And this is probably the one thing that when I think about still gets me emotional. It was one of those things where I just was like, I would never expect that from a man. I would never ask that. You know, you have children. They are over 10 years old. You know, you have not had to deal with an infant in a very long time. And the fact that you were in your early to mid 40s and you were wanting to start that over again was very shocking and very flattering to me. But also it did kind of scare me a little bit.
That's because that just felt so real. Say.
Yeah.
And I told him, I'm on birth control. I need to talk to my doctor about it. And he knew it. I made an appointment.
Wow. But you were like, I'm down to think about this.
I basically said, I'm okay with talking about this more. And as I'm getting older, I said, if you were serious about this, I will go talk to my doctor now to see what our options are. If I need to go ahead and do like the preliminary testing to even see if I have enough eggs for this, you know, like all this stuff.
Of course.
Yeah. And he knew it. You know, we had the open dialogue. And again, very refreshing, very reassuring to me that he would do this.
I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping. And last time I also had trouble sleeping, I remember I was talking to Mackenzie on one of these little sessions, and I looked over at my bed because, yes, I'm still in the stage where I record this podcast from my bedroom. And I didn't have my Miracle Made sheets on my bed. Miracle Made, y'all have heard us talk about them. They're the best sheets. And, you know, I change my sheets because I'm a grown up, but I love them the most, and they regulate my temperature. And did you know that your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality? And I'm realizing that I'm just waking up like way too hot in the middle of the night, and I'm going to switch my sheets probably as soon as we're done recording this. But Mackenzie's the opposite. She runs really, really cold. And the nice thing about these sheets is that it doesn't matter. It regulates based on what your body needs. So like her husband sleeps really hot. She sleeps really cold. Same sheets, same bed. They're both sleeping better, which is very cool. Another thing that I love about these sheets is that most bed sheets harbor so much bacteria, more than a toilet seat, apparently, which makes me want to throw up. But that's like acne, allergies, your stuffy noses. It's so connected. And Miracle Made has a whole line of self-cleaning antibacterial bedding. So the sheets, pillowcases, comforters, they prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth. And you clean them like three times less. They are self-cleaning. So you're going to have better skin, better sleep, all the things. So we've got self-cooling properties for better quality sleep. It's like silver-infused fabrics that are inspired by NASA technology, thermoregulating, designed to keep you at the perfect temperature, self-cleaning, better for everything, and then just comfort and quality. Like, they're really soft. They're really pretty. I have a really nice like green color that is so perfect for my bed, and it's designed for your skin so you're not sleeping on bacteria. I mean, come on. It's a miracle. So go to trymiracle.com/TDD to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo TDD at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%.
Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/TDD and use the code TDD to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/TDD to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Back last Christmas is when Kelly, the girl that he dated last year before me, that he
the one that broke his heart over text.
Oh, no, this is not. No, that's a different one. This is Kelly, who he went out with after years of being single and not dating. He went out with her just a few times and then he started to feel feelings for her and his anxiety got him and he broke it off.
Oh, okay.
So he's telling me, he said, Kelly messaged me today asking for coffee. And I said, oh, okay. You know, what is this about? And he goes, well, when we broke it off back in May, I kind of left it open-ended saying, because it was because of me, I said, check in with me later this year and maybe I'll be in a better place. So here she is checking in. And I am shocked. I don't know what to do because it's such a weird thing.
It's like he's technically single, but he's also talking about having a kid with you.
Yeah. And so I took a huge risk and I don't know why I felt so strongly about this. I didn't even question it for a second. I told him, go meet her. And I said, if you have an ounce of any feelings towards her, then what we have is not as special as I thought.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you'd rather be with him
someone
be sure.
That's not 4,000 miles away. And he was so shocked that I would say that. And I just was like, no, if you can find someone that has, you have the same connection with in your own country, why not go for it? And I said, I do ask that you tell me what happens. And he very honestly said, what if we were to hook up? Okay. And I said, well, please tell me as much as I don't want to know. I do want to know. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, you and I are not in a committed relationship. And I kind of like tried to make it a little bit lighthearted by saying, I've been teasing you from 4,000 miles away.
Of course, like, you're a little, yeah.
Yeah, like, go, you know, if you have to, okay, just be safe.
But how did you feel like, because had you thought about the fact that, I know, okay, so you guys said that you weren't dating.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a world in which either of you could hook up with someone and not tell anyone. Like, had
yeah.
The thought of him with someone else had that feel.
It may be, it was shocking because I think he focused so much more on me meeting someone and me being married by the time he came back and like all that stuff. He never once joked about him and I never did either. Just given the fact that like he had been single for years, he tried the dating thing and it didn't work. I was finally trying to break through that barrier, yeah. You know, and it really never crossed my mind that that could be a possibility of him meeting someone else.
Yeah.
But the Kelly thing, I was like, you guys met before I was even a blip on the radar. So I'm not going to stand in the way if you guys do decide to rekindle. And I was very honest. I was like, it would hurt. It will break my heart. But I was like, but at the end of the day,
I'd rather not be with someone if he wants to be
with
someone else.
And this is the reality of where we are. We had this amazing 4 days together, but there's so many other factors that could play a role in this. And so he thanked me for being understanding. I think I kind of scared him off by how strongly I was like, you need to go. But it was more so for me, like, I have been dating the last few years. I know what's out there. And what I had with Darren came nowhere close to any other man. So I felt so strongly about our connection and I needed him to be just as strong.
Just as strong, yeah.
You know?
I need them to be even stronger sometimes.
So he ends up going out with her. I am so nervous that entire day and night. And he tells me that she changed the plans to be dinner instead of coffee and XYZ. He's like, you know, I think she's wanting to play it around that like I end up back at her house and I just like, okay, you know, and I said, if it happens, it happens. I'm not going to hate you. And I said, I just want you to be honest with me is all I care about. And, you know, like I'm telling my friends about it that day. And like, even one of my guy friends is like, he's not going to do it. He's not going to hook up with him. Like if what you guys have is real, how could he do
He's
it?
He's not going to want to.
And so that night I'm sitting there and it's probably like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning his time. And I get a text from him. I had sent him a picture of something I cooked that night. And he wrote me back, "You are a goddess," which meant culinary goddess. And so I'm like, holy crap, he messaged me. Surely he wasn't with this woman if he's going to send me a message, you know, like all this stuff. And we talk a little bit. I'm like, how did it go? And he goes, it went well. Thanks for asking. But that's it. And I let it go. And then the next morning I wake up and I write him again. I said, do I have to ask you directly? And he said, do I have to respond? And I said, you don't, but you just did. And he said, yes. He said, we did hook up. And I was like, okay. And I said to him, I was like, I'm going to need to take a break of talking with you just right now. I said, I need to process this. Cause I did. I mean, it just felt like the world crumbling. You know, I had fully prepared myself that this was a potential thing happening, but the fact that it actually did it. And then I'm dealing with the emotions of, I feel like I was cheated on, but it wasn't, like we're not in a committed relationship. So how can I express that I'm hurt without him easily just being able to say, we're not in a relationship. Why do you feel this way? Something like this.
And he was matter of fact about it. Like, was he like breaking up with you? Or he was just like, I just hooked up. It didn't mean anything. Or he didn't even.
Yeah. He said, I just hooked up. It was very casual. Like he tried to play it off. But the thing that I had to ask him, even though we had had this conversation multiple times leading up, that I need you to tell me, he shied away from it. And so it took about a day or two for me to get my thoughts together. And I wrote out this list of questions. And it was just like, did you mention me? Did you think about me? Like all these hurtful things that I've been holding in that I didn't really want to know the answers to, but I also had to have the answers to. And he told me right away, he goes, I told her about you. And he goes, of course I thought about you. And then he used the line, but I'm a man kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, that means nothing. Like, but,
That's also the fact that it's like a woman from his past that he had feelings for. There's one thing about like, I have a friend with benefits. That's no big deal. But this is like, this would mess with me.
Yeah, it was really tough. But how he handled it after, not the immediate, that sucked. But afterwards, for like a good 2 weeks, he and I talked about it. And he said to me very, very nicely, like, this is always open if you have a question about it. I'm never going to shut you down. And he's like, I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to have all your questions answered about this particular situation because it is a big deal. And so how he handled it was very shocking to me, and I loved it. I was like, wow, he is handling it more maturely of making sure that I'm comfortable and understanding what's going on. He texts me and he goes, I broke it off with Kelly. And I was kind of shocked by that because I thought that had already been done.
Yeah. I was going to say, wait, so they kept seeing each other?
They didn't keep seeing each other, but I guess they texted. And, I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, how do you feel about it? And he sends me screenshots of the actual conversation. And I'm like, wow, that is shocking that you were that open about this to not, you could easily paraphrase or make up messaging.
What did he say? Yeah. You can also easily Photoshop, but yes.
But it was basically like, hey, I guess the girl, she asked to see him again.
Yeah.
And Darren was like, hey, I've been thinking about this. I don't think it's a good idea for us to continue seeing each other and talking. And he said a few reasons. And he said the first reason was the girl in America. And the girl writes back, oh, I didn't think that was still a thing. I didn't think it was that serious. I thought you guys were just talking here and there, whatever. And Darren writes back, well, I'm going to see her this fall. And also she's talking about coming here and I'm becoming more open to the idea of it. So I am just shocked that he's that open about this. She's clearly upset and he sends me all these things, right? And I'm looking at it and I'm telling him I'm not being easy on him. I'm like, hey, yeah, you really messed her up. Like,
yeah, I feel that way too.
Hooked up with her, that gave her hope. And she's clearly hurt. And he's like, I hate that I hurt her. And I'll never forget, he said, she will cry for days.
Okay.
And I thought that was really odd. But also, in my head, because I am so falling for this man, I was like, wow, he's really empathetic. You know? And like, he feels bad for hurting this girl's feelings. And
I'm like,
reassuring him, you did the right thing by telling her, yes, it sucks, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I am asking them, what needs to happen now? And he goes, well, it's done. I said goodbye. And he said the words, you now have my undivided attention. So all of that leads up to a surprise 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? What?
2 weeks ago.
Okay, go.
Oh, quick break to help you out. With Mother's Day coming up, are you looking for a Mother's Day gift that will leave your mother speechless or any mother in your life? Whatever gift you're trying to give, we're obsessed with Songfinch. What it is that you commission an original song from a professional songwriter, song producer, musician, and they write it based on whatever you need, and it's the perfect gift. You may already know that our producer, Molly, shout out to Molly, arranged for a song to be written for us, the three of us, through Songfinch. So our song was called The Three Graces because the three of us came together and made this podcast. And I think I know every word. It's like, before I met the two of you, I was stuck in a job that made me feel blue, working for a big TV company, making morally ambiguous reality TV. That was Molly's background. And then it goes into how she found the perfect PI and also me. And then we've been able to make a podcast that tells stories that seem to really help people. And it made us cry. The video's on social media. We'll share it again. And the song was much better than what you just heard me sing. She was so good. Such a good song. And it was like funny. It was like I was laughing and tearing up at the same time because it was so personal. But it was also, like I said, it was stuck in my head. I loved it. And you can do it for anybody. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique and it's personal and it lasts forever. It's so cute. It's a very simple process. You just tell them like who the song's for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. And the actual Songfinch musician will write, record, and produce your song in just 4 to 7 days. So y'all got time. There are unique add-ons that make a gift even more special. You can get a vinyl record of your song or art made from your lyrics. There's more than 350,000 happy customers. It's Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world. And whether your song's for Mother's Day, Father's Day, a wedding, anniversary, even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free. So you and whoever you give it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Just go to songfinch.com/TDD and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free. It's a $50 value. So again, my URL is songfinch.com/TDD. And don't forget to share your song with us too. It's songfinch.com/TDD.
About 3 weeks ago, he had a bad day. Three bad things happened that day. And I could tell, again, in text, but I could tell he was really upset. And so I chose to break the rules that we had of me not being able to send him anything. And I went out and got a card. And it was just a small little card saying, like, sending you a hug. And I wrote in there, I said, I know I promised you that I would never send you anything, but I can be just as stubborn as I am caring.
Aww.
And I said, I just hope you have better days ahead. And I said, by the time this gets to you, I hope you forgot about everything that happened today. And that's it. And I put it in the mail. And about 2 weeks ago, I actually say to a friend of mine earlier that morning, oh, I think Darren should be getting the card soon. So it is about noon on a Wednesday, and I am about to jump on a Zoom call. I have telehealth therapy sessions.
Slay.
And I'm about to jump on, and I'm sitting on my bed, just getting ready, and I look down at my phone, and Darren is calling me.
And he hasn't called you.
Calling. Okay.
So I answer and I say, and I mean, we had been talking all morning, right? So this wasn't like I hadn't heard from him all day and then here's a call. And everything was normal up until I think the night before he and I were literally talking about our future together. And I think he made another future wife comment. So, and I actually started saying to my friends, I think this might be the one. You know, like I finally let that wall down.
Yeah.
And so he calls and I answer and I say to him, hey, don't get me wrong. Super excited that you called. I've only been waiting 5 months for this. I said, however, this is not a really good time. I'm about to jump onto therapy. And he mumbles, I have to tell you something. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he says, I'm married.
Oh, yeah.
And I
Hannah's ass just came off her seat.
Yeah.
I did. I saw it. he mumbled it, but then on top with his accent, it was hard. And my complete denial.
Yeah, you're like, no, he didn't just say that.
Yeah. So I'm like, what did you just say? And he said it again. And I yelled it back to him. I said, did you just say you're effing married? And he said, yes. And then he got quiet. And so in my head, again, complete denial, I think he's kidding. And so I say to him, I told you I don't have time for this. I'm about to jump on therapy. And I hung up. And I thought he would have called me back or followed up with a text. Nothing. Like, it's the longest minute of my life.
Yeah.
Watching my phone and nothing comes up. And so I text him, are you kidding? And he calls back again. And he said, I'm not kidding. My wife got your card. Yeah, that's when it hit. That was real, right? Because he didn't know about that card. And I'm just like completely shocked. And I think all I could get out was, because again, I have therapy in literally minutes.
Thanks.
So I think all I say to him is, yeah, right? Good timing. I say to him, I hope you rot in hell.
Oh.
And hung up. Because that's all I could think of at the time, right?
What else
and
do you say?
I am getting on my Zoom call with my poor therapist who has seen me go through all of the relationships for the past few years, but has really been in this ride with me about Darren. And she's like shuffling papers as she gets on the camera and she's asking me like, how's it going? And I say something like, well, I was doing a lot better 5 minutes ago. And she looks up at me and she sees that I'm pale as a ghost. And she's like, what is wrong? And I say it to her and I'm in such shock.
Yeah.
And I tell her, I was like, what do I do? And she goes, well, do we know it's real? And I said, well, I think so. Like, why? That's a really messed up lie.
Yeah. If this is a joke, we're dumping him because of that.
Yeah. And so she says to me, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I need answers. And she said, well, prepare yourself that you might not get them. And, you know, she knows how I am with emotional stuff. And so she's like, hey, if you need to do this, you need to do this now because you're angry and you're in shock.
Yeah, she's like, three-way call.
Yeah,
call
right? She's like, let me in on this.
100%.
She's like, let me send him the bill for what I'm about to endure after. So I tell her, I was like, hey, we're not going to get anywhere. So can I reschedule this session? So we rescheduled it. I call my friend and tell her, and she is not just shocked, but just frankly pissed.
Yeah.
Because she's like, this man fooled me too, you know, like, and I'm heartbroken. And so we're talking about it and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And she said, well, see if he will talk to you. So I write him a text and I say, I have questions and I deserve to hear answers. And I said, and you need to call me so you can hear the hurt in my voice.
Yep.
So he calls.
Oh, boy.
And this first call isn't great. It's about 45 minutes long of him just saying, I never intended to hurt you.
I never intended to get caught.
Right, exactly. Means. And he's like, I didn't think it would go this far. And then he says the words I'll never forget. I just wanted to give you a positive experience.
I'm sorry, what? Okay.
You're not a freaking rescue dog. He's not Mother Teresa.
And then he said, I wanted to let you down easy. I said, well, that expired at the airport 5 months ago.
Legit.
And he said, I know. And he said, it just got out of hand, you know. All. But he's like, again, I never intended to hurt you. Like, it was just a broken record. And I'm fed up. And I'm like, I'm not going to get anywhere with you. So I tell him, I'm like, I'm done. And I said, listen, I might reach out once this settles in me. But I said, but we're not going to get anywhere. So I'm going to let you go. And I let him go. And I'm just in shock. And that feeling comes over. And I know a lot of your listeners are going to understand that have been in this where you're like, crap, I now have to tell all of my friends and whoever I told about this amazing man, I now have to go to them and say, just kidding. Like, he's another piece of crap. And all of those emotions are coming into me. So I text some of my friends. Everyone is shocked. No, everyone's like, what are you talking about? No, you know, especially way. The ones that have been in this, yeah. in the trenches with me. So I'm not a petty person. I don't do a lot of like payback stuff. I was ready to just like process this and move on. My friends, though, are not. And so they start set because, again, his stuff, I had his ID, his phone number. You know, I sent that all to them at the beginning of this.
No.
So they have all of his info. On top of that, his business is public online that has his home address.
Oh, no.
So they start sending him glitter bombs. Oh. And they find, like, some place that, like, will literally send poop to your house. And like, they sent him a card that was like, I'm sorry for your loss, you know.
My God.
And then one of my friends who is particularly amazing at this, she set up alerts to his email address on Amazon listings for books called How to Be a Better Man, How to Survive Infidelity.
This is genius.
You know, like amazing, amazing things. And then she leaves a Google review on his business.
Oh, no.
Now, she's a very avid reviewer. So everything she reviews immediately posts. It doesn't go to pending. So she writes a pretty scathing 2-paragraph review. And it basically is along the lines of, when I want to hire someone, I want to know what kind of person they are and what they value. Clearly, this man does not value people and
terrible
all
character.
This because he's able to lie to multiple people for months. He was able to just completely create this affair, international affair, traveled away from his family, blah, blah, blah. So she writes all of that down and she's like, at the end of it, she says something like, so I don't know about you, but if I would want to know this about someone I might hire to build my, you know, my projects. And I thought it was great, you know, and she sends me a screenshot of it.
Kara,
and
I'm like, he deserves it.
Yeah, I'm like, hell yeah, let's do this. So I try to go to bed. I end up having to wear headphones that night because I can only hear him say the words over and over, I'm married. Every time I try to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I wake up the next morning to a text from him and it says, please call me. So I call him and he goes, can you please ask your friend to remove that business review? And I said, well, I can't control what my friends do.
Yeah,
and I said, I already warned you that my friends are very protective. They are just as heartbroken as I am because they have watched me struggle for years trying to find a good man. And here we thought we had one. We all thought we got the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And here I was planning my life in Ireland. I looked up how to move there, jobs, everything. You made it feel like it was real. And he says, for the sake of my children, can you please remove the review? And he said, I understand your friends can do whatever they want to me, but my children can access the internet. They can see this. They are innocent in this. I understand that he mentioned that, like, I guess his wife was now officially talking divorce. So he's like, I understand that my marriage might be over. And if so, we are going to have to bring in professionals to help with the kids. Can you please remove that? Or ask her to remove it, blah, blah, blah. I said to him, I'm pretty sure you did not think about the sake of your children for the last 5 months or your wife. And then I said, I'm fairly certain that your three children know what kind of man daddy is.
Yeah.
Okay. He says five.
Five kids?
I yelled at him. I said, do you have five children? And he said, yeah. And I was like, what the F? Like, what?
Why
would you lie about that?
Yeah. What was the
point? He said, because I felt it was easier for a woman to accept three kids instead of five.
Why didn't you say two kids or like one? Like, you know what I mean?
Intrigued.
Or no, why did you even just say you have, why say you have kids?
Yeah. Like, yes. I'm 4,000 miles away. What am I going to do? And then I said to him, I was like, how, you told me about three kids before you and I even met. Like, this was supposed to be a one night dinner, you know, while you were in America thing. So why would you lie to me about that? And he said, because it's what I did last time.
Last time? I'm sorry, what?
I said, what are you, what he are has you a talking script. About?
Oh, the girl.
Yeah.
The girlfriend.
So the girlfriend of 14 months after the marriage, that was actually a 14-month affair with a woman named Isabel. He basically, every lie that he told me about his life is what he did with her.
Does she know about the wife now?
Yes. That's why it ended on a text message.
Because she was like, fuck you. That's all I need to say.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fuck you. Block. Delete.
Yeah. So I am floored, right? And I'm just like.
So then she knew he was married and then she wanted to get back with him?
No, this is another.
This is different.
Oh, that was it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
No,
yeah.
I got this confused too, but okay. Good to clarify.
So Isabel was from years ago. That was a 14-month, the first affair. And then Kelly is the girl from last year that they went on a few dates. So,
which I'm curious if Kelly knows anything. Like, Kelly could just be totally in the dark.
Well, that comes in a second. So there are three main things here. Believe it or not, the fact that he is married is the least of the things that is shocking.
Stop!
Of what he did. The first one is he lied about children. He lied about the two youngest ones. He conveniently erased out of his life. And when I tell you that, this man sent me multiple videos and photos of these kids. He either cropped them out or purposely kept them out.
Of photos and videos. That's so messed up.
How old are the two youngest?
8 and 10.
Okay, so those are the youngest. Oh, wow.
And then I said to him, I hope to God those two children never find out that daddy conveniently deleted them out of his life to get a woman. Like, that's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, and he's like, well, they're too young. I'm like, they're not young. They're not that young.
What is
they're
his
gonna
deal?
Know.
Why is he stupid? Why is he so, like, nonchalant about it?
And that's the thing is he totally changed. You know, after the truth came out, his demeanor changed. He was cold in how he talked. Like, it was scary. It was emotionless. And, you know, and
he was busted. The fantasy was over. The fantasy was over. He was busted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? And so then I say to him, why, you know, of all the lies that you've brought me on this journey with for 5 months, why not lie one last time and just break up with me? You had so many reasons to use the distance, the anxiety, anything. Why could you not have just said that? Because now, knowing that you're married, knowing that you lied to me these last several months, this is going to fuck me up for a long time. I'm going to have trust issues more so than any other man has done to me, because I really fell in love with this man. He made me think that this is what I've been waiting for.
So what did he say?
He said, I wanted to lie to you. My wife wouldn't let me. So I said, so walk me through what happened. And I have sent him stuff in the past, I should say. Like, he got a Christmas card for me, stuff like that. Had he just said, please don't send anything to me ever, like, that would be a red flag. But the fact that he let me send certain things to him.
But he knew about them.
Yeah, I figured, I was like, okay, I have his real address. You know, like, I have all this stuff. And I guess when he knew I was sending him stuff, he would tell the postman, if you see anything from America, hide it in the shed.
No! Are you serious? Is that what he told you that?
Yeah.
This damn postman.
Now, of course, like everything that he says to me post everything coming true, I don't know if it's true or not.
Of course.
You know, clearly this man can easily lie, but these are the things he said to me. So because he didn't know I sent this card, he didn't know to warn the guy. So his wife got the card. So she sees it's a woman's handwriting. It's a woman from America where her husband just was, you know. So she obviously, given his history, she goes inside and she Googles me. And then she takes it to him. And she said, who is Jenny? And he says some ridiculous thing about, I don't know who that is. That's mistaken identity, you know. And at this point, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
And I say to him, of all the lies you've told me and her, you never once thought about what lie you would say when she found out.
Right? Like you plan it out. Like you should pre-plan.
Mistaken identity is as good as you could come up with.
Like, no, his best excuse was not.
And so, and she knows, like, right? And right. And so she opens the card and reads it to him and sees his face. And she says to him, I looked Jenny up. She looks like a very good person. You will not ruin her life. Call her. So that's when he called me. So it kind of makes sense now that like she had to have been in the room every time.
I'm like dying. Yes. So that's why he's just like, I'm married. She's like, you say everything.
Yeah. At one point on this phone call, I said, was everything a lie? Of the last 5 months, everything you said to me, every compliment, everything about your feelings, all of that was a lie. And he said, well, the sex was good.
But to be fair, he probably had to say that to save face with his wife.
And I guess he could tell his wife it wasn't feelings, it was just sex. And exactly. By saying it's just sex, right. It's
and so
not
you
us.
had to feel that hurt.
Like what you just said is something that my therapist has had to say to me post this whole happening, because I was spiraling out of control of like this man, everything that I've always dreamt of hearing someone say to me, I'm proud of you. You're beautiful. Oh my gosh. One of the things he said to me early, a month or two in, he said, your smile and your body were made for me. Aww. Like he would say these amazing things. Right. And then for him to say that they were all lies, like that really messed with me mentally.
I don't think trust in everything.
You know,
he probably really felt that, but he couldn't, like, obviously he's married. So it's null and void. Like
he kept calling what we had a fantasy. He said, I was his fantasy. And I said, yeah, but I didn't know it was a fantasy.
So
it was my life and my heart, you know? And so anyways, he's telling me, he goes, my wife spent all last night looking you up online. And like I said, I unfortunately have a pretty big online presence. So I can't imagine what it would be like to watch my TikToks.
She probably, I mean, I get it. You want to hate the woman. And then you're like, but you and I have been played.
I mean, listen, if she hates me, because I get it, you know? And so I felt so bad. And I said, did you tell her the truth? And he said, well, yeah, because I know that she could easily contact you now and you have receipts upon receipts. And I'm like, yeah, I have a novel of text messages for the last 5 months of you calling me your wife, of you saying you lived in a loveless marriage. Like, I was like, yeah. And he said, well, she might reach out to you. And I said, good. I have a lot to say. And I said to him, I don't know Ireland marriage laws, but I will damn sure find out to help her get as far away from you as possible. And he said, well, she might not reach out soon. She's pretty fragile. And I was like, well, yeah, she just found out that once again, you had an affair. And he said, well, so the mental health stuff that I told you about how I was in and out of mental institutions and had suicidal ideations, that was my wife after she found out about Isabel, the first affair.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He said that she tried to take her life with medicine, and then she was in and out of getting help, and he did take care of her, and they went to counseling, they did all this stuff, tried to heal, and he said that he's been good for the last several years. I was his relapse. And I said, okay, first off, you don't get to call me a relapse.
I was going to say, first of all, sir.
Knowingly downloaded Tinder. It's not like you and I ran into each other on the road, you know, like you were online looking for women.
You were proactively online looking for women.
Second of all, who the fuck is Kelly?
Yeah, okay.
Like this guy's an gal. He doesn't get to blame his whatever. It's not like he's bad. Bad man.
Right. So, okay. So he's telling me this, and I am absolutely floored that this man would not only weaponize his supposedly anxiety and mental health to me this entire time and make me feel so bad for him and not question anything, but then to take the pain and the story that you caused on your wife for cheating on her and using it as your own story to get empathy and sympathy from me is a whole new level of evil.
I can't even.
Liars stay close to the truth to make it easy.
And I asked him, actually, I said, do you even have anxiety? And he said, yeah, I do. And I said, from living two lives. Like, what on earth? Of course I'd have anxiety if I had to remember every lie I said for the last 5 months.
I don't remember the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath, but it feels like he's like...
He's a definitely sociopath. He does not have the emotions of being able to comprehend and understand empathy. Emotions of himself and others. Yeah. So that was another bombshell, right? And at this point, he says he has to go. So I hang up with him. He calls me again. So again, this is just a day after. So this is Thursday. He calls again to talk some more. And he said something along the lines of, my wife wanted me to block you. And I said, yeah, I'm kind of surprised you haven't. And he said, well, I told her I wouldn't. And I said, I don't really think you have any sort of power to say no to this. And he said, well, I told her, what if you needed me?
So he's like playing her too.
Yeah. And I said, well, I'll make it easy for you and I'll do her the favor. And I said, this is the last we will talk. I will block you after this. So then I start asking kinds of all these questions, right? And I said, what about Kelly? Because he said to me, I was his relapse. He's been good this whole time.
Yeah, what about Kelly?
He hasn't had an affair. So I said, what about Kelly? Kelly was made up.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Kelly didn't exist.
Why would he do? What?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What?
So
I don't get it.
Kelly was created.
Why?
To be an out. But here's the craziest thing. I might not have known her name, but I knew that this woman, quote unquote, existed on the first date, right? Because he explained to me that he's only been out with one other woman. He created the storyline of this other woman for one to like show that he's dating when it wasn't supposed to be serious, to show that like, hey, I've been out here, blah, 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 after this horrific, traumatizing divorce and breakup. But then it turned into a, this can be my way out.
Yeah, he could be like, I still have feelings for her.
Yeah, so we went through it all. Because I said, what about Charlie?
Yeah.
Is this some crazy game you guys play, picking up women? And he said, no. And again, can't believe everything he says. But he said, Charlie was really mad at me. And he said, that is why, you know, at first, the first night, he explained to me, he didn't tell Charlie about me because he was scared I wasn't going to show up on the first date. But now I know, of course he didn't tell Charlie about me because he's married.
It's also why Charlie looked white as a ghost when he walked in on him with another woman.
That is why he was so shocked when he opened the door, because he walked in on his friend, again, cheating on his wife. And I guess Darren apologized and said, so sorry, please, you know, just play along. And Charlie was so upset and hated. And so that's why Charlie is fed up of hearing about Jenny.
It's not true.
Because it wasn't his fucking wife.
He knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong.
And I guess when I said that Charlie flew out early and Darren took him to the airport and I met them later, in that car ride is when Charlie was like, you have got to tell Jenny. You cannot go back home. You don't leave her hanging. Just break it off. Tell her the truth. And so he was supposed to tell me at the airport, but then he said, well, then you told me that you'd be okay coming to Ireland.
So then he imagined a life with you further and he couldn't.
That, but he also said, I couldn't break your heart like that in front of you.
Wait,
so
what?
Yeah.
He
so
is
he
awful.
Said he tried so many times to try to figure out how to let me down easy. So that's why, again, a month into this, in October, he had his anxiety freak out and tried to back out. And I said to him, I said, yeah, that sucked. And I was fully ready to move to walk away from you.
Yeah, breakups are hard, but that's part of life.
Yeah.
And I said, and you came back. It wasn't me. You are the one that came back and started this again. And he
so
said,
selfish.
I missed the control of knowing I made you feel good.
It's really sociopathic. It's like a robot.
Yeah. Like he, and again, yeah, because he had no emotions in saying it. He said, I loved knowing that I was giving you everything you've always wanted. And I was making you so happy.
That made him feel powerful.
Mm-hmm.
When he maybe didn't feel that in his own marriage and he found someone that
And he like felt like almost like a savior type of like, I'm saving this woman and making her believe in love and all this stuff. And he kept again using the fantasy word and letting me down gently. So he was supposed to walk away from that, but he missed the control. So
but then as soon as he got caught or as soon as it was not real anymore,
it's
not interesting anymore because that's part of the whole fantasy. A lot of the
thrill
time
of it.
The thrill of it.
And so that's where Kelly came in. He knew that since he had brought her up at the beginning, he knew that he could tie the story back in with her. And that was his plan, was to go out with her, then fall for each other again and him move on with her. But again, he chickened out. And then he said he really liked how upset I was that they hooked up. And he liked knowing, like, he was so
that
flattered that I was
that
upset over this. And he was like, I couldn't do it. And so, again, he moved on and he said, I kept thinking of ways to let you down gently because I wanted it to be, again, quote unquote, a positive experience. And he said that,
like, he was doing you a service by providing this fantasy. Like,
he thinks he's a
I want you to
dang
have a positive
saint.
Experience here on the land of Ireland, man.
Yeah, right. And I said to him, well, you definitely didn't do me any favors. This wasn't a fantasy. This was the exact opposite of letting me down gently. And he said that he was apparently in the works of creating another woman where he was going to meet her and decide to pursue her. And that was supposed to be his way of letting me down gently.
Well, that wasn't going to happen. I mean, he was going to keep going until he got caught. I don't think there's any world where he would ever prioritize anyone else's feelings before his own.
And I don't think he could have ever given up what he had with Jenny. I don't think he could have ever given that up until he got caught. Like truly feel in my heart, like I really feel like he genuinely did love this idea of being with Jenny. Like he loved this fantasy.
But
I also think
he's a sociopath there's a limit to what he can feel. Like I think he is a narcissistic sociopath, which has unfortunately nothing to do with any of the women.
True.
Exactly. And he obviously could feel I was hurt, but I was knowing now all this of how he was a sociopath and a narcissist. I kept telling myself, like, do not show you that you're upset or hurt or anything, you know, like he's going to get out of that more, you know?
Yeah.
And so basically my last things I said to him, I said, I need you to promise me two things. And he said, okay. And I said, first, I need you to apologize to your wife on my behalf. And he said, you didn't do anything. And I said, I know I didn't, but she deserves to hear a genuine apology from someone.
Oh my God.
And then I said, I need you to give your wife a divorce, let her have custody of the kids. And I said, your wife can get away from you, but your poor kids have you as a father. And I said, I don't know. I don't think anything can help you at this point. You know, like it was like try therapy, but I don't know if that's going to help you. I said, but your kids need professional help now. And I need you to really focus on being a father and not get with any other, you know, stop doing this. And because your kids are watching you, they're of the age, you know, the oldest just got into his first relationship. And I said to him, I said, what if your son
treated people this way
to another woman, what you just did? And he said to me, oh, no, he's much nicer than that. He wouldn't do that. I said, you don't think he's watching you? Like, I remember hearing, you know, when my parents would have disagreements, I could feel a tension in the house.
Yes.
I could feel, you know, so I said to him, I was like, please, for the sake of your 5 children, not just 3, please get help and get your kids help. And then I said to him, I was like, this is it. I need nothing. I have nothing else for you. You're blocked. So that was it. And I blocked. Now, it's important to note that I did try to contact Charlie at some point in the 5 months with him. When he had the first freak out back in October-ish, I felt so upset that I found Charlie's information, not from Darren. I actually tracked it down myself.
Yeah, you sleuthed.
So I know it's his real email. And I sent him an email and it was just along the lines of like, hey, I really care about Darren, but I understand he has a lot of struggles here. I'm not here to fight. Please take care of him.
Yeah.
Like, please watch out for him kind of thing. And I never heard anything back. And I was really hurt because I thought, given all this of, you know, like our time together in Atlanta, but also how Darren was telling me he would talk to him about me and right. his friends and all, you know, I thought, oh, that's so rude that Charlie didn't write me back.
I would have been like, oh, he doesn't like me. Like,
yeah,
what's wrong
right.
with me?
And now I understand, obviously, Charlie wanted nothing to do with this. So yeah. after this all happened, my friends took me out for drinks. And I'm telling them, you know, and I'm like, and stupid Charlie could have warned me. And he, you know, not like it was his responsibility, but still. And so I had a few drinks and I emailed Charlie again. And in a very dramatic way, the subject line says, I know everything. And then the body of it just says, hey, I just found out everything. I'm truly appalled. I said, I understand your reasons for not telling me, but I'm really sorry that you have a friend that put you in this situation.
Wow, you are.
And then I said, I hope you and your wife have a good life together.
Yeah.
Like, I hope what you guys have is real.
And there was no response, I imagine.
Yeah, so that is my story. That is how this man who I literally thought was my Hallmark movie come true turned into a Netflix documentary about a Tinder swindler. I will say the good thing is he didn't get any of my money. My joke is that he didn't get any of my money. He just got my heart. But in the long run, like, I couldn't get money back, but my heart is fine. You know, this happened 2.5 weeks ago, which is crazy.
I have, yeah, okay. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing well, surprisingly. I think it's because of the absurdity of it all.
Yeah.
And this, unfortunately, isn't my first run-in with a married man. And so the last one really, really hurt. And I felt so betrayed. But also I felt that guilt, you know, of like, what did I miss? And how did I do this? How was I stupid enough to fall? But this time around with Darren, I had so many friends on this journey with me. We were all scammed. And that's what helped me, is knowing that and this is something that my therapist had to say to me, I'm struggling with the idea of being a victim. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to accept that I'm a victim because that makes me seem weak. And she's like, you're not weak for being a victim. Like, you literally, this man concocted this extreme.
You're also, you could say, survivor.
I think a lot of people would agree with that statement. Like, nobody ever wants to call themselves a victim.
Right.
No.
Because it feels defeating.
Yeah. It feels like, it's like, oh, I lost. Like, I did something.
Like, you're stupid or like, you know.
You don't want somebody to feel like you're at a lower place now because this happened to you. It's not that.
Yeah. Telling the story over and over is cathartic for me, obviously, because seeing everyone's and hearing everyone's reactions to it helps so much, because it's like, wow, this is just as crazy as I think it is. Yeah. It's very validating.
Yeah, it's like probably 3 times as crazy as you think it is.
Like, and that's why it's like, you know, when I submitted my story to y'all, I don't even really remember what I submitted, but I think I said something along the lines of, this is not just a, oops, I'm married. That's the least of the problems. You know, this man erased 2 of his children, lied about mental health that he caused on someone else, and then created this entire different identity with screenshots.
Yeah.
He created those texts. That's what's crazy to me. That is diabolical.
That's a lot of work, though.
Good word. Diabolical. It is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work to create screenshots.
I don't understand. Do we know? So his business is what he said. Like, you were able to verify a lot of the details about his life.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that I had his real name. I had
but
his
also
address.
Like, why would you give all of that information to someone right? who could ruin your life?
So one of my friends has a good theory or analogy of this. She said he basically treated me like an opposing defendant in a law case. and that he gave me so much information that I didn't necessarily dig through it. But I also assumed that he was giving me everything.
That's true. That's a good point.
You know?
And I mean, like I said, he kept saying, I'm good at this. I'm good at what I do. I've done this before. And which is sick to think, like, why are you bragging?
I know a cheating case. Somebody gave their location. So you think, okay, great. And they would like leave. It was like they would leave their phone and they had a, you know, like there's ways to make it seem like you're being completely transparent. And then you leave your phone at home and you think that they're home all night. Yeah. It's like not that hard to get people to trust you. And that makes me so sad.
And he knew. And that's the thing is he knew he had me. It makes sense now. I don't know for sure, but I can only assume his wife is a stay at home mom, given the 5 children. And that would make sense as to why he couldn't talk.
Yeah.
On the phone this last 5 months. And then obviously not being able to send him anything. The craziest thing, though, is he was really, in the last 2 months especially, becoming more and more open to the idea of me coming to Ireland. Like, we would talk about it. There were times where he actually said, come on over. I'll pick you up. We'll go see. He would send me, like, these Instagram reels of, like, Ireland sightseeing and all. And he'd be like, I'll add this to the list and, like, all this stuff. And I asked him, I said, what if I would have shown up? If I had the extra money, I would have sure as hell got on the plane.
Yeah, you could have shown up at his door. You had his address. You could have been like surprised.
And he said, I kid you not, so calmly, well, I guess I would have had to told you the truth. After I flew 4,000 miles. And then I asked him again, I said, were you even going to come here in September? And he said, well, if I had the money. And I said, so you would have come here. We would have had this incredibly romantic trip. You would have met my family and my friends, seen my life, done all this, and then go back home to your wife. And I said to him, I said, if you were that unhappy in your marriage, which he is, it's almost 20 years of marriage.
Yeah.
If you were that unhappy, divorce or separate, there's nothing. Clearly, you had this whole story of you being divorced. So it's not that big of a deal.
Like. You've been and living it.
And he said to me, well, I'm not unhappy in my marriage.
You never.
I'm sorry.
I know. It's just
I'm
like.
I'm sorry. What?
You know, I know. Audacity at an all-time
like,
high.
Are you not unhappy? Like, I
he's
don't get
a sociopath.
It.
He doesn't feel. I really don't think he's like able to. It's
no.
It's so scary.
Wild.
I really fell for him because of the father he was, that he portrayed himself to be. And I used to say to him all the time, because he would say stuff like, I can only hope that my kids are good people, whatever. And I would say, if your kids have 20, like a quarter of you in them at all, they're going to be good. And so one of my last things I said to him is, I can only hope your kids only have a quarter of you. Oh. And that's it. Because like, I cannot imagine.
I'm
and
so sorry.
Just the hurt. And so, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm here to tell my story because I think it's like, you don't think you're going to be a victim. You always mm-hmm. think it's going to be easy to see the red flags. Or your friends can see the red flags or, you know, all of that kind of
stuff. Someone can see the red flags.
Yeah, like there was nothing. And the thing, he has to have had like notes on all of his lies because nothing ever changed in his stories.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, he was
I guarantee you he told that story. I guarantee he's done this multiple times. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. He kept saying that I'm the only one in the last few years. Like, no, you were,
I don't believe
you were doing
that.
This a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if he was on tender, like this wasn't an accident.
Of course.
But where I'm, to
and
be
his
honest.
Grainy photos so that no one who knows him doesn't recognize
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
But he's not a dummy.
I use the phrase, he premeditated this. Like he
yeah,
flew
it was absolutely
here, downloaded the app, you know, did all this. And the sickening thing is how he would say to me, you could be married by then. Or if you're with someone, break up with them. Of course, you know, like he's saying all these things to me, fully knowing he is whole ass married for, you know, several years, multiple kids. And here you're going to tell me you want to reverse your vasectomy for me.
Unreal.
And give me children when you've deleted two of the ones you actually have. you know, it's gross. So
it's so gross.
So that's why I'm doing as good as I am. It's because the audacity and the reality of it is so disgusting. I have anger.
So much audacity.
I'm glad you know that it's not your fault. And I'm glad you're talking about your friends being part of it with you is like, your story is also going to help the people listening recognize that it can happen to
someone else.
Of us
gone through this too.
We can do everything.
Thank
right.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
I love you, by the way. You are so funny and a great storyteller. And
thank you.
I was on the edge of my pants.
I know. I want you to keep us updated. Please.
Please let us know how you're doing. Like, this is so fresh.
Molly on the call, she would say, she said the same thing you guys did. She would say, like, I know I'm supposed to hate this man. But I don't. Like everything sounds so good. I'm like, yeah, that's how good he was. You know, like it literally ripped everything out of me when I heard those words, because I never in a million years would think that.
And that was it. Then the rug was just pulled out from under you in that moment.
And that was it. I joked with him that he was ruining American men for me. And I told him, I was like, I now never want to meet another European again. Like
he's ruined men for now.
I know. If you are a nice Irish man, please let us know. We need faith.
Wait, does our podcast get aired in other countries?
Yeah.
Oh, so
we have listeners everywhere.
If he's listening.
Yeah.
Then...
Fuck you. Sorry.
Sharing this helps. It's cathartic to me. Knowing that these things are happening is very scary. I tell all of my married friends and committed friends, never become single again. Because it's a dark place out here. I don't get me wrong, I still am a hopeless romantic.
Yeah.
I know that this is going to lead me somewhere good and positive.
Well, we are going to let you know, all the people that reach out to us.
There's going to be so many.
Saying how much this helped them.
Thank you again so much. We love you. Thank you for listening to the show and for telling your story on the show.
Yeah, you're
so much.
You're the saint. You're the everything he wishes. You're that and more.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for letting me tell my story. I hope it resonates with some people.
I know it will. We can't wait to hear updates from you.
Of course. You. Thanks, ladies.
Bye, Jenny. Bye.
All right, bye.
Told you guys it was a thriller.
Messed up.
100,000,000%. There's so many things that I struggle with this story. And those are the lies that he told. I'm just so confused about so many of the lies. Like, first of all, I'm so heartbroken that this happened, because this guy set so many expectations for her, right? And then
nothing was real.
Yeah. And for instance, the part about the kids, and he's like, oh, I have 3 kids. No, you have 5. Like, what's the point? Like, just say you have 0. Like, I don't understand why
that was
half
so
a lie. I don't get it.
Interesting how he was like, it was more, people are more likely to be down if I have 3 kids versus 5. I thought it was interesting that he was like starting this whole scheme from the get-go, like waking up the other girl. Mm-hmm. Like, he planted the seed for that so early. He was like, so masterminding every element of this. And I think like the why is everybody's favorite question, because we don't understand why somebody would do this. But this one almost feels a little bit more clear to me, because she got some closure at the end that I don't think people normally get.
She did. That was a really good opportunity.
I think his wife was like forcing him. And I still think I think he's a sociopath. Like, I think he's not able to like have true empathy. But the fact that he was just like so straightforward about his reasoning, like he's such a, I think he just wanted control, and knowing that he could control and have this power over people and lying. Like, he tried to break up with her. He made up a whole character to break up with her. Why didn't he? Because he liked her, jealousy?
I think he did want to make her jealous. I think he liked that feeling of someone being jealous, but like, I think he liked the idea of this relationship. It was legit like a fantasy. Like, this was something that could never come to fruition, obviously. But, you know, he totally
lied.
It
was like his video game, like his little game on his phone.
Yeah.
But another human's life.
Yes, exactly. And just the whole thing with taking the wife's mental health and making it his own.
God.
He weaponized pretend mental health issues to like basically say, oh, I can't talk on the phone because of this. And she was having a background in psychology. She was, and just being a kind human, like she was very compassionate and empathetic to him. And she understood. And, you know, speaking of being kind, hello.
Oh, yeah. His dating profile, all it said was be kind.
Right.
Excuse me, sir. That's the biggest April Fool's joke I heard last week because bullshit. I mean, how can that be your dating profile when you're literally cheating on your wife and five children? Yeah, the weaponizing mental health thing and using all of her diagnosis as not only like sob stories, but excuses.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest red flag for me is him not wanting to FaceTime or talk on the phone. But
after being so intimate and so passionate with one another and you have all this love and then all of a sudden you're like, I don't want to FaceTime. That is literally the only time we're going to see each other's FaceTime and you never want to FaceTime. But the fact that he was like, don't send me anything. It's like she was just so compassionate and understanding and he had manipulated her so much and it just made her feel like this was okay. Like this was, he was a safe place and he manipulated those feelings hard.
I also think that long distance, as hard as it can be, for some people, I was just talking to a friend about how they tend to like rush into relationships mm-hmm. and having a long distance relationship is actually good for them at the beginning because it slows them down.
Yes.
And I can see that. Like I could see you being early on and being like, you know what? This relationship honeymoon phase. Well, the honeymoon phase lasts longer. And also you're like, this has obstacles that I'm not normally facing. So let me not worry so much about locking it down, about all of the things that you might need to feel secure, because you're kind of like telling yourself there's a lesser chance that this is going to be something serious. So maybe I'll just, you know, not get too worked up over it. I could just see how you could be in a new long distance relationship and not set the same standard that you would for someone you're dating in person.
Yeah, because, well, the circumstances are different.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're long distance, there's a different standard. Like there's a different set of expectations.
Unless you can establish that you're going to visit each other all the time. But in this case, they obviously could not.
He was all bark and no bite. And he was a dogfish. So that tracks.
Ugh. Wait, what do you think about his friend? The one that he traveled with that knew?
So I don't know, like, there are, and people have different opinions about this, but I feel like, I don't know, like the Charlie was probably like, I don't listen. I don't want to know, man. I don't agree with this, but I don't want to get involved. Like, this is too much. He was probably highly disappointed in his friend or whatever, but like,
it's a huge decision. You have a lot of power because he could have blown up his life and the wife's life. Like,
but then he would have had to deal with that guilt of being responsible for blowing it up. He should have said something, but honestly, if he doesn't, that's for him to decide. Like, that's not his place. But if he wants to, that's fine. And yeah, he could help her out or whatever. But
I know there's
a part
of me that's like, he could have just told Jenny. But then you were on the risk of Jenny telling the wife. Like, you don't know what getting involved.
He was going to carry a burden either way. So I don't blame him for telling. I don't blame him for not telling. I don't blame him for
anything. Yeah, you do whatever you think is like most comfortable and safe.
You have to choose the burden that you're going to carry, basically.
It's a tough one. I also like don't know the nature of their relationship as friends, you know, if it's like, it's a hard thing. I was thinking about with the episode, the blackmailing dogfish, how it's so important that we have friends in our life who are going to be, you know, ride or die, as they say, mm-hmm. at our best and at our worst. Like if I'm making a mistake and cheating on somebody, I wouldn't do that. But if I was, I want to know that my best friend would still be my best friend and recognize that we all make mistakes, because I want to be able to tell her like, oh, I'm going to meet this guy, because that's when you get into extra trouble where you don't tell anybody about what you're doing.
That's dangerous.
It's dangerous. So obviously I want my best friend to be like, Hannah, what are you doing? This is not okay. Mm-hmm. But I want to be able to have that trust where they're there for me and we've decided like, that's why, you know, my best friends, they're my soulmates. You got to have your people that are going to be there for you at your worst. But I'm curious. I'm sure there are some people who would disagree with this and think that we shouldn't let our friends get away with nasty stuff. So let us know what you think and how your friendships operate.
But at the end of the day, you choose that you have to choose your burden.
Yeah.
Choose what burden you're going to carry, the burden of knowing that your friend did this, or carry the burden of knowing that you outed your friend. So either way, you have to choose your burden, and it's not anything that's there to blame for. It's not their problem.
Well, T. I was like, I guess we should talk about the email now. And I did not transition seamlessly. But if you have thoughts, other thoughts about this episode, or if you have a story that you want to share, you can reach out to us on our socials, Dating Detectives Podcast on all the things. And you can email us at investigate@thedatingdetectivespodcast.com.
Also, please continue to share our podcast with your friends. And as Hannah's mom said, has dated or ever thought about dating or ever wanted
know
to.
Know someone who's dating.
Know someone
That's
who's
her
dating.
Review of the podcast. Yeah. She says it's good for any of those people. I'm like, so anyone?
No, but if you or someone you know has connected with someone that like came into the country, or you met for like long distance, like they lived in Ohio and you live in like California and you connect and then you had a long distance relationship, like I want to know if any of those went sideways and like what happened. Were they lying? Like I need to know all the things. So make sure you tell us.
I'm thinking about people in my past. I'm like, I wonder if they were married with 5 kids. If you're listening, let me know.
Oh, God. Crazy.
But thanks,
now
everybody.
I'm thinking about it too.
I know we're both like, huh, there were a couple ones that I didn't really get verification on. We recorded this episode and the introduction and outro before we put out the first part one, and Mackenzie is now in Mexico. So we are going to announce the winner of who guessed part two's answers when she gets back. So that's not going to be in this episode, but next week we will tell you who won some merch. A lot of good theories. Oh my Lord. Some wild theories. I love hearing what everybody thinks is going to happen. Also, shout out to Monica, who DM'd us something really funny. She listens at work and was like, her boss walked by and was like, are you talking to your podcast? And she was like, yes, this shit is bonkers. You've got to listen. So that's
oh
what you got to do.
I
you
got
to tell your boss. But I also just love, are you talking to your podcast?
Like, yes. Yes, I yes. am. And you can do that here. It's fine. Anyways, we love you guys so, so much. Thank you so much for listening. And come chat with us on socials. Keep the conversation going. And as always,
trust your femtuition.